we need to live this. Spiritual warfare, we're going to look at this. It's a big subject and something that we really need to embrace and understand so that we can walk with more victory and more power. So we're going to probably go in and we're going to call it Spiritual Warfare 2.0 for November. We're going to continue on in this battle because how many of you are aware that we're not in a playground, but we're in a battleground? Do you understand that? Do you understand that our world is full of opposition towards especially any Judeo-Christian or as we understand it, Christian beliefs in our society? At one time, it was the church that was first built in a community. It was the church, and it was the highest, it had the steeple, it was the highest point, and then they built a community around it. Now, if you want to build a church in a city, if you want to build a church in a town, they don't really want you there because there's no tax revenue. And you can imagine in Richmond how much we're blessed by not having to pay taxes on our building and stuff like that, but we still need to be good citizens of our community. And we need to use this tool and this gift to reach our community and our world. That's why we're exempt. But that doesn't mean we're exempt in politics. It doesn't mean we're exempt in our school system. It doesn't mean exempt in a whole bunch of things in our world. Matter of fact, there's a lot of spiritual things that come against us because of what we believe. And we have to stand strong in those things. I'm not going to give you a little speech on that because I want to talk to you about the spiritual things that are aware in our world. I remember the first time I ever understood spiritual warfare, and I didn't really understand, but experienced it, was when I first got saved. I got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, went home. I had no idea what even getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit was. I just know it happened and it was awesome. I felt that. You know how you feel it? Some maybe did, some maybe didn't, but inside I felt this washing and a cleansing, and I went home, and everybody else was crying, and I was happy. I couldn't understand why our friends were crying, but because we came to Christ, that's why. Then I went to bed that night. I was laying in bed, and I felt this pressure on my chest like this, just like somebody is kneeling on your chest. You ever fight with your siblings, and your brother gets up on top of you and just squeezes the breath right out. That's what it felt like. And Lane was right beside me in bed, and I didn't have enough air in my lungs to make my vocal cords work to say, help me. It was that pressure. And I go, what's going on? Like, there was nothing there. Like, I couldn't move my arms, but there was nothing there. And all I could do was what I learned in the morning was the name Jesus. And I just finally got that word out, Jesus, and this thing broke. And I had no idea what it was, but I knew something had happened. I knew there was something so evil and so dark and so scary that had come upon me that the thing that I did in the morning had to be real. Because it never, ever visited me like that before. So I mean, it was a few years later before we actually entered into anything else that I was aware of. I think that's one of the things we need to be careful is we need to be aware of spiritual things. I need to get my notes here, but and so I remember going to church in Colwood, and we're baby Christians, and we didn't know really much, Elaine and I, and so they had a kind of a, called First Things First. It was the discipleship thing, and I remember one day I was walking by the church, and I just felt compelled to go in, so Elaine and I went in, and there was our secretary, and her eyes were like this. They were big, huge, and I said, what's going on? And she says, there's a woman in the foyer of the church. I said, so? But she's sitting there in kind of the lotus position, and she's going, I like adventure, so I went in there with Elaine, and this woman, young girl, probably 19 or 20, was sitting there manifesting a demon. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. We called the pastor, and he didn't know what to do. That was really good. And so, I don't know, I can't even remember how it turned out, but anyways, we got her out of there, but we didn't know what to do with demonic manifestations. Then as a paramedic in that same community, I know people bring home stray dogs and cats. I'd bring home stray patients that didn't have a place to go. So I would say, oh, you could just come to our house and recoup. Like, how smart is that? You know, but, and I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I was in the drawer. And so I remember bringing this gal home, and she seemed quite nice to begin with. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, she would be up. She'd sleep all day and she'd be up all night. And we got up and she was sitting in the middle of our living room manifesting this demon. Now that's, you can leave people at the church and you can leave people in the parking lot, but you can't leave them when they're in your house. So this is 2 o'clock in the morning. So we phoned our neighbor who used to work with Derek Prince, who does a lot of this demonic stuff. And she came over and we worked with her and we phoned our pastor. And he came over, but he didn't know very much about this whole spiritual warfare stuff. So he just put his Bible on her head. That sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? And nothing happened. It was just she continued to manifest this demon, and the Bible was on her head. And so anyways, this other person came over, and she was pretty sharp, and she led us through some prayers for this woman, and she was just like set free, and we learned something there. First thing I learned is don't bring them home. That's the first thing I learned. They need help, but you don't need to have them at your house. So over the years, we kind of learned more and more, and then we were just in the Kootenays last weekend, and that's where I learned the most about demonic stuff. It's a dark place, Nelson and Castlegar and all those areas. There's a lot of spirituality going on there. When we lived in Grand Forks, Dan and I would drive up on our motorcycles and we'd go up to the top of the hill, and the hill overlooking Grand Forks. You'd be up here and Grand Forks is down below, and that's called a high place. And there was a campfire there, and there was an upside down cross in a fireplace and a Bible partially burnt. They had actually met up there, the satanic worshipers, the witches and the warlocks, and they were casting spells or whatever they do up top over the community. And we're in Castlegar, and we've got friends that hunt in that area, and they said the same thing happens up in those high places there. That's not unique to the Kootenays, and it's not unique to Victoria, which was considered one of the high places of spiritual darkness. Lots of demonic stuff happens here. We're a gateway to the world. Some of us bring our demonic stuff with us, and we don't even know it. Some of us come like because of all sorts of different openings in our lives. Could be the way we were brought up. We could have been brought up in a religion that was very spiritual, and so demonic and Christian, you know, you're quite aware of it. It's all spiritual. But you have to draw a line in the sand and say, this is God and this is the devil. You have to draw that line. And when you draw that line in the sand, you're going to be in a battle. See, the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But just before that, in John chapter 10, it says that Jesus came to give us and life abundantly, right? And then it says, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to kill you off. Even if you're saved, he wants you out of the picture, because if you're saved, you're going to be doing damage to his kingdom. He doesn't love you. He hates you. He hates everybody else in this world. He is a hater. And Jesus Christ is the lover of souls. And we have that privilege. Like, the devil cannot harm me. And what I'm saying by that, because it says it in 1 John, is that he cannot destroy my spirit. He can destroy my body. He can do whatever he wants in that area. Not that he can do whatever he wants, but he is the prince of the power of this air. And we live in a fallen world, so we're dealing with all sorts of things, tragic things. But you have to remember that God is your protector. God sent his son to die on the cross to defeat the enemy, and everything in the world that comes against you spiritually, Jesus Christ has overcome. Jesus Christ has overcome. Can you grab that? Can you live that? Can you say, yes, that's the way I am? Because Christ wants you to live in this victory. He doesn't want you to live in this fear, this tension all the time. So we need to be aware. We need to be aware of our enemy. We also need to be aware of who we are. And so in this next series, and there's going to be a lot of this, we're going to talk about authority of the believer. We're going to talk about spiritual darkness. We're going to talk about demons. We're going to talk about the realms that the world in the fourth dimension that we don't see. Do you believe Jesus is here amongst us this morning? Can you see him? You can't see him. You can sense him. So that's a fourth dimension. That's one of the things that's out there that we know it, that we know that he's there. But we have to understand that we need to walk in that realm as well. We need to be people who walk in power and victory. Jesus, it says, if you read the Gospels, he went about healing some people, and then he went about, you know, sharing people, and then with people, and then teaching people, and then he called, you know, some people to follow him, and then he raised some people from the dead. This was what he did all day long. And then there's some demons came, and he just said to them, you know, come out in the name of Christ. He didn't go, come out in the name of Christ, come out in the name of Christ. You know, have you ever been in one of those meetings? Everybody's scared, especially the preacher who's trying to cast a demon out. It's like if I yell louder than the demon, and the demon comes right back and goes, la, 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 and you go, la, 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 and you know, it's just this big battle, and whoever yells the loudest wins? No, we already have one. And so when the demons manifest, you just have to tell them to shut up. I mean, maybe that's not a polite thing to do, but I don't really think we have to be politically correct or polite with the devil, okay? You can drop all of that stuff and just tell him to shut up and speak when you're spoken to. You never have to raise your voice. If he raises his voice, then just let him raise his voice, but tell him to shut up. Do you get it? It's the authority thing. How many of you, if the policeman says to you, do this and do it now, would go, well, I don't want to do it. All of us in here would just do it, right? I've been with the cops when they've said, I want you to do this, do it now. And the guy says, I don't want to. Then he was helped to do it. And he had a whole bunch of extra iron on him. He had bracelets and all sorts of things that were handed to him. And he got a night in the Crowbar Hotel or the Buffalo Inn or whatever they want to call it. Because they have the authority. And you know what else they have? It's if it's just one member on, he can call and he'll have backup. He can have the SWAT team. You ever seen the SWAT team in action? Whoa, that's awesome. Well, it's not maybe not awesome for the people that are being hunted down by the SWAT team, but for me as an observer, as a police chaplain, it was like, whoa, this is so cool. It's like a movie, but I'm in it. You know, they come in with their guns and they come in with the big half tracks and all this kind of stuff. It's really exciting. But what it represents is we got the authority over you. We got the authority over evil, and Jesus Christ inside of you has the authority over evil, and you need to walk in that kind of power. And, you know, sometimes we just have to be made aware that that kind of power is here. I have enemy that's called intrusive thoughts, and I know some of them are demonic, that the enemy just comes when, you know, when you go to sleep, and then all of a sudden you have a horrible nightmare. Anybody ever experienced that? And you go, where did that come from? Well, it could have been triggered by something you watched on TV, because there's a whole bunch of demonic stuff on TV. Now, I'm not going to rattle your chain here about this, but if you watch what you watch and think about it, some of it's pretty nasty. And some of it gives lots of glory to the devil. Why feed that into your trough? Why eat that? Like, why have that in your life? You have a choice over that. And you don't want to get involved in that. It's not intriguing. I mean, magic is intriguing and supernatural is intriguing. But follow Christ where it's all supernatural and all integrity and all righteousness. And everything that the devil does counterfeits what Jesus does. So we need to get into this. In Ephesians, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of you do? Come on, be honest. How many of you would just like to punch somebody out, you know? Because they ticked you off, they cut you off. Husbands and wives, you just kind of like, you know, you'd just like to settle this thing, and the best way to settle it would be just to club somebody, you know? Smack them upside the head, you know? Because and we got to stop that. That's our flesh saying, this is how we solve this. What we need to do is realize that the person isn't the problem. It's what they're doing's the problem. And we don't know the motive behind it. We don't know anything about it. But the reality is we need to start looking at this as a spiritual battle and not a flesh and blood battle. I mean, the psalm says the twisting of the nose bringeth forth blood. I like that one. That's an Italian thing. I think you just twist the nose and... Nehemiah laid hands on him, pulled the hair out, and slapped him in the head. It's in the Bible, but it's not the right way to go, okay? So you can't lay hands on like Nehemiah, and you can't be twisting somebody's nose to bring forth blood. What you have to do is realize that this is a spiritual battle, and you need to enter it into equipped with the armor of God and all the gifts that you have, the discernment. You have to understand where you're at. And you can handle this situation because you want that person not to end up in hell. You understand that? Hell is a horrible place. Hell is a burning mass of ugliness. But the worst thing is hell is a separation from God. Hell is a separation from God. And God never created anyone to go to hell except the devil and his demons. It started back in creation time. Satan was Lucifer. Lucifer was they kind of figured that maybe he was a worship leader. And you know, because music is such a beautiful thing, but it can be so controversial. But he was considered a worship angel and a lead angel. And then he said, I'm going to exalt myself above God. And God said, you're not. You're not going to do it. You're a created being. You're not going to exalt yourself above. And you know what? Instead, he fell. And Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Can you imagine? Like, this is one of the archangels. This is one of the high, choiced, created angels that God had created. And he went. Against what God's principles are, and he wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted to be God. How many people have you met want to be God? How many cults in this world have set themselves up to say that they are God and then did so many destructive things? People's lives are changed and people are held in captivity or even end up dead because of these people's beliefs. They're not God. There's a God and you're not him. And that's exactly what he probably said to Lucifer. Morning star, there's a God, but you're not him. And he fell. But he had a little network there when he was in heaven. And that network was 1/3 of the angels. So all those demons that you encounter, anybody encountered a demon? Let's see, put your hand up. Anybody encountered a demon? Those are fallen angels. They were created to be good. They chose to follow Satan and they fell. The interesting thing is, in a simple math, 1/3 fell, 2/3 never. Awesome? Whose team are you on? You're on the winning team. You got two angels. It says even in Hebrews, it says that we have ministering angels that are sent to help us in our salvation, to guide us and guard. I've met my angel. Now you maybe think, well, you know, you're maybe off your medications, Pastor, and maybe you stayed up in the north too long. But I met our angel, and I think I shared that before. But you have ministering angels. These angels are God-purposed angels, and so they are more powerful. They are more powerful than the devil. And if you remember, I put a little dot on the wall to show the relevance of the power of Satan and the power of God. It's not that he's not powerful, Satan, but he's not in any comparison to to who God is. And that same God lives in you. And if he lives in you and he raised Christ from the dead, he'll quicken or give life to your mortal body, and you will walk in power and authority, and the demons will come to your feet and say, "Don't bother me." And you can cast them out of that person, and that person can get saved, and that person will go to heaven and not hell. And all the assignments that have been assigned to him or her will be destroyed. Because there's people that have assignments. I've been in churches where people have purposely come to my church or the church I was pastoring to destroy my ministry and destroy my life. I had a guy put it, and I told you this before, put a 38 pistol to my head. That can end your ministry. And then he took a knife. And I still like this guy after. It's crazy. But you see, he wants to take us out. Think about your childhood, how many times you near missed being killed. And look what you're doing now. Because the enemy doesn't want you to live. He knows. He doesn't know the future, but he knows if you live and you know Christ, you find Christ, you're going to wreck his plans. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So, and we talked about this in John 10. This is so important that we know that he is the good shepherd. And he's the door, the gate. And the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's interesting, he says, "I'm the good shepherd and lay down my life for my sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because the hired hand is, and he cares for nothing for the sheep." You know, we need shepherds. I'm not your shepherd. I'm your under shepherd. Jesus Christ is your shepherd. But he's set up the system that we have in our world today, as far as church goes, that we have pastors. And pastors are people out in the field caring for the sheep. That's me. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a teacher. I don't consider myself an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. And I like it. I like hanging out with sheep. I like getting in one book that I read, it said you should smell like your sheep. And when we had sheep, I did. I was out there in the field and they'd come and I'd just go, "Here sheep, here sheep," and they'd come over the hill and just like bonanza, dun 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 dun. You know, and they would be all there, and they'd be all snotty-nosed, and they'd be rubbing up against me, and they'd put my hand in their fleece, and there's so much lanolin in there. Lanolin's good for your skin, but not raw lanolin, because it'll break your skin, and my fingers were always cracked and everything because it was such raw lanolin in there. But I loved them. I loved my sheep, and I love you. You have chosen to come under my care when you attend this church, and I want to be the best shepherd I can, the best pastor I can, and care for you. And it's a big job, let me tell you, because there's lots of you. But you're all important, every one of you. Every one of you is important. You're important to me, but you're really important to God. So he wants to equip you. So if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Don't be strong in your relationship with him so that you can go to heaven. Build that relationship so that you understand the benefits of that relationship. And it's to be mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. You get up and get dressed in the morning. You don't want to be going out of your house with no clothes on, okay? Right? You don't want to scare the neighbors. You don't want to end up on a 6 o'clock news. You get dressed because of the climate. You don't want to be out there and get sick and all that kind of stuff. What you want to do is you want to do that spiritually. You want to get dressed. You want to get dressed for battle. This is not jogging suits that we're, this is not spiritual jogging suits and nice running shoes. This is actual equipment so that you do not get killed in battle. Isn't that great to get up in the morning and think, hey, we're going into battle again? Wow, I can hardly wait to see the carnage and the beatings, and it's just going to be a lot of fun today. And demons will come out of the woodwork and scare the snot out of you and all that kind of stuff. I can hardly wait to start the day, right? Actually, I'm kind of that way, but maybe not everybody. Because I like to see what God's done and what he's doing. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So you need to understand that these things are all moving at the same time in your world. We have volcanoes that are erupting all over the world. We have earthquakes and tsunamis and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of pointing towards the end times. But they're catastrophic for people who are in them. We just drove up to Williams Lake, and there was a place called Cache Creek, and it's been on the news a lot, where last year they had rains, or they had fires, and then they had rains and there's floods, and their fire chief went down to check out the depth of the river that's flowing through there, and they never found them. And then because of the fires, there's this horrific mudslide right on it. Like, go figure, who would have thought there could be anything dangerous on that chunk of road? We traveled it thousands of times, Elaine and I. And one guy was going on a tour with his wife, and he got out to put the convertible top up, and while he was out there, this landslide came down, took the car and her, and I don't know whether they ever found her. This is in British Columbia. This is in a little place called Cache Creek. That's catastrophic. Is that the devil? I think the whole world's groaning, it says in chapter 8 of Ephesians, waiting for Christ to come back. And we're going to, this world's going to be destroyed, and we're going to have it rebuilt. But in the meantime, it's under the power of the enemy. And so we can do our part, and we should do our part. We should do all that we can to help mitigate some of this. But please understand that we live in a fallen world. And we need to be aware. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm. And I'm going to read this again out of the new Living Translation or the Message Translation, because I really like the way they put that. So you want to have the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and you want to have the breastplate of righteousness in its place. So the belt of truth buckled around your waist, that holds everything together. And the breastplate of righteousness goes from here down to here. That's all your vital organs. When you go into shock, whatever the case is, when you go into shock, your body shuts down, and your legs and your arms and your ears, they can be just done away with. If you notice that when you get really cold, you get really cold because the blood comes back from your hands. Your hands are really cold. Your head's really cold. You need to be careful because you can go into hypothermia. In shock, everything shuts down. All your blood goes to your brain, into your lungs, and your heart, and that kind of stuff. Because your body's saying, you can live without legs and arms. You can't live without a head that's working properly, and you can't live without lungs, and you can't live without a heart and your kidneys. And so you got to have your liver working. So we're going to just put all the blood there. So that's why the breastplate of righteousness. Guess what? The enemy attacks at your level of righteousness. And that's happening in your mind all the time. Choices. The devil says, you can do this. You don't have to pay your income tax this year. You can actually drive over the speed limit. Like, come on. They said 110, but your truck can do 140. And really, if you average out, there's people doing 90. So you add that to yours. You know, it's just an average, right? how much does, you know, what is the, is there a balance? I don't know if there's any RCMP in here, but is it like, is it zero tolerance or is it like 10? So if you go 110, can you go 120? What about somebody that doesn't charge you enough at the restaurant or the grocery store? And do you walk out and go, start the car, start the car? You know, you've seen that commercial with IKEA? Come on, we got out. We got a deal. We got out of here. Or do you go back and say, excuse me, but you didn't charge me for this? And you if you do that, you should see the people in line going, what a nut. Like, what's wrong with you? You should have just pulled out of here, man. And you would have got away with $3.80. Like, come on. Isn't your integrity worth more than that? That's what the enemy will do. He'll give you opportunity to test your righteousness. Then it says, fit your feet with the readiness that comes with the gospel, comes from the gospel of peace. So everywhere your feet go, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them who bring good news. So are you getting your shoes on saying, hey, Lord, what do you got for me today? Or are you getting your shoes on saying, oh, no, I put two different socks on again today? Because those feet are going to lead you to where God wants you to go if you're listening. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We need to be able to take up the shield. We need to have faith all the time. And when the enemy comes against us, we need to be able to discern whether that's God or the enemy. And then we need to stand in faith. We may need to pull down that stronghold. Ever had anybody curse you? What do you do? Have you ever had a Christian curse you? What do you do then? Well, I tell you, we're not to be cursed. Christ was a curse. He died on the cross. That he took that. He took that curse for us. So when somebody curses you, what I do is I say, that's a curse, and I don't receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. And they go, what? Because they're not in the Spirit of God. They're in their own spirit, a religious spirit or a spirit of whatever. And so you need to be able to stop that in your life now. You need to face that. You need to confront that, and you can do it if you've got the armor of God on. And I'm not talking about religious. I'm talking about being equipped, ready to go. Remember David and Goliath? David couldn't wear anybody else's armor, but he had already his armor on when he went out to the field to take down that big giant. He said, you're just like another wild animal. I've taken bears out and I've taken lions out, and I'm going to take you out. He didn't look at him and go, oh, man, this guy, like, it's, you know, three stories above me, and he's got arms like, you know, like horse's legs, and, you know, and he can reach out and stab me and not even come close and all this kind of stuff. He didn't even look at that. He just said, you know what? You're cursing the living God and you're coming down. We need to understand when we find ourselves in places where there's demonic influence, where there's opposition to who we are, we need to stand and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are coming down. You're not going to stand, and I'm going to be the one walking away from here, not you. You have to have that attitude, because it's not you who's going to win the battle. It's Christ who already has won the battle. And you are more than conquerors. And then it says, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, flaming arrows are worse than real arrows, but I don't think real arrows are that great either. But these flaming arrows come and they sit inside of you and they just burn. We have phosphorus now that they use in all sorts of hand grenades and stuff like that. It's wicked, horrible stuff. It just doesn't stop burning. It just does not stop burning. That's the kind of fiery darts the enemy's. And he will only be able to allow you to penetrate, or he'll be able to hit his mark if you don't have your shield of faith up. If you have the shield of faith up, those darts don't go anywhere near you. They get dissolved in faith. And so you need to be strong in the Spirit. You need to be strong in Christ. In addition to all this, Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Put on your toque. That'd be the Canadian translation. Okay? Put on your block heater. That's what we call them for this block up here. Put it on. Pull it down so you don't get cold. Most of the heat of your body goes out through your head. It goes out worse with guys like me that don't have much hair anymore. But you got to realize that you have to put on the salvation helmet so that your thinker is protected. Because that's where you process everything. That's your soul. That's where God speaks to you and you speak to him and the devil can get in. That's where the battleground is. So put on the helmet of salvation, which translated is the helmet of deliverance. Awesome, don't you think? Like deliverance. We are delivered from the attacks of the enemy being effective in our lives. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Prayer. Prayer is key. I don't know what your prayer life is like, and probably it's not like anybody else's, and that's fine. But just hang out and talk with God. Talk with him about everything. Talk with your spouse about everything. We have, we've been praying really a lot for my son-in-law's father who just went through some quadruple bypass surgery. We would wake up in the middle of the night and we'd pray. And we just knew that we would pray. We pray for you that way. We just, it isn't a set King James type of a prayer. We just pray all day long. It's just kind of hanging out and talking with God. It's like with Elaine and I, we don't just have specific times. Well, it's 3:09. Okay, do you want to talk now? And we'll talk for 3 minutes. And actually, I'll just tell you what I need. And then I'm going to go the other way. It's just like hang out with. Elaine and I hang out together, talk lots about all sorts of things. Sometimes I'm wrong in some of the things I say. And so she helps correct me. And I don't like those conversations as much, but you'll find those with God as well. So here's the message translation of what we just talked about. And that about wraps it up. It says therefore in the other translation. But that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. Pretty simple. So take everything the master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. He didn't get the lowest bidder. You know, our military, they and different places, they buy things from the lowest bidder. Yay. You're flying an F-18 that was built by the lowest bidder. You want to be flying an F-18 that's built by the best, not the lowest bidder. And then put them to use so they'd be able to stand up to everything that the devil throws your way. So you can stand up. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget all about in a couple hours. This is not a game. This is a battle for your soul and for the souls of others. This is for keeps, he says, or life or death. Fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. When it's all over, but the shouting. If you've been raised in a dysfunctional family, you understand what that means. The last one standing after all the shouting is the winner. I've been in there where I was the winner, and I've been in there when I was the loser. But it's after all the shouting. It's interesting. Shouting is caused by fear. We only shout because we want to make ourselves big. And if you're really big and you shout, then it's even scarier for the person that you're shouting at. But that's the whole idea. So take all the help you can, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be standing on your feet. You want to be standing on your feet. And I'll tell you, when God is the victor in your life, you will stand on your feet and you'll watch the enemy fall right in front of you because he is the one who will fight your battles. He is the one who will fight your battles, whatever they are. If they're addictions, if there's anger in your life, if there's fear, if there's whatever it is, He will fight that battle and he will give you victory. And that enemy will be subject to him and kneel at his feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. The word of God needs to be inside of you. The word of God's inside of you alive. And when the enemy comes, there's times when I just had to stand on the word of God and move forward. In the same way, prayer is essential for this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. That's why we gather on Sundays. That's why we gather in home groups. That's why we're here together as part of the family, part of the army. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, actually, I'm so glad that I'm enlisted in the army of God. It's a militant attitude that we have, covered in love and no malice. How about that? You don't want to be in this battle any more than God wants you to be in this battle, but Adam fell in the garden, and since then the devil's had the upper hand until Jesus came and defeated him on the cross, but then the devil still thinks he's got power to destroy people's lives, Christians' lives. He does not have that power. He does not have that power unless you give it to him. And don't do that. Don't do that. He'll come and tempt you. He won't tempt you. He won't tempt you with something that you don't like. Like, you know, I'm not tempted with a ballroom dress. Go figure, eh? But he'll tempt me with all sorts of other things. And so what I need to do is realize that, hey, when he's tempting me, I need to stand against that. When I stand against that, he's defeated. But he won't go, oh, that Jim Caruso, you know, every time I come, I'm just going to give up on him. No, he is not. He'll send all those ugly demons, and he'll send himself once in a while, not very often because I'm not that big of a catch for him. But he'll come and he'll try to disrupt and mess your life up. I want the worship team to come back if they would. I don't know where you are in this battle, but we're going to go deeper, and we're going to talk about the authority of Christ. We're going to talk about dealing with demons, talk about aftercare. We're going to talk about the influence of demonic activities and cultures. Some of the things we just take, horoscopes, for example, Ouija boards, that's in our culture. But there's all sorts of demons and stuff that are still part of maybe your culture. Maybe your family's in it. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff, and we're going to not just talk about it, we're going to deal with the stuff. We're going to equip you. I'm not going to equip you. I'm just going to tell you what God has already given you. And we're going to see some deliverance. I remember Lane and I did a spiritual warfare seminar, started on a Friday, did it a Saturday, and did it a Sunday morning. And it was like, as soon as we announced that, all hell broke loose. Literally, all hell broke loose. The services were disruptive. People were manifesting demons and stuff like that. And on a Sunday morning, that's kind of disruptive because it was kind of quiet and cool and awesome here this morning, right? But what if you have somebody rolling around the floor spitting and swearing and maybe trying to kill your pastor? Some of you might say, go for it. But I'm not going to die in that case anyway. But what I'm saying is it can be pretty ugly. But it's so awesome to see that person get set free. Jesus said he's come to set the captives free. And if we know the truth, we will be set free. We need to know the truth about this spiritual warfare, who we are. We are equipped. We have all the weapons. We have all the armor. We have everything. We have the power of heaven. Whatsoever things we do on earth and whatsoever things we do in heaven, God has given us that authority. Us. Look around and say us. You know, like us. Go figure. We look like a motley crew, don't you think? Huh? We don't even have the same uniforms. We do have the same look, the spiritual look of Jesus Christ. And the devil knows that. I want you to stand. I don't know what you've been battling this week. Maybe nothing, but maybe something. This morning we want to pray that you don't have that battle anymore. I'm going to take authority over that in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray that you'll be able to walk as that soldier that's enlisted, trained, and being able to develop the skills of what God has given you. So I'm going to invite you to come up. We have a prayer team. We'd like you to come and just join us up here right now if you would. Elaine and a few others, that Pastor Stephen and Kelly, others, you know who you're Val and the different team. Come on up, and Pastor Bob, if you'd want to fill us. What we're going to do right now, and just if you want prayer, just come in front of somebody, and we're gonna believe that God is going to do something in your life. When you walk away, you are going to be entering this Thanksgiving weekend with a lesser load than you had when you came in. If you're just new and visiting here, we just want to invite you as well to be ministered to. We want to thank you for coming. But this is what it's all about. This is what about the practical piece. So the team's going to lead us. Cheeto, if you just lead us. I want you to come. Thank you, Jesus.